Now, some old books are getting some new language. Works by British authors Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming are seeing new editions published that either remove, reword, or otherwise revise words or sentences that might be offensive. While the efforts aren't about banning James and the Giant Peach or James Bond, it brings up the question of whether or not texts like this should be updated and how doing so affects current readers and future readers. And it comes at a time when many books are being removed from shelves in libraries and schools because of ideological opposition to their content. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this? Publishers, copyright holders, moves to revise Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming books for a more modern audience? Do you think they should stay as they were written? Is it worth updating them for newer audiences? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Adam Lotz is a professor of education and history at Binghamton University in New York, author of the book The Other School Reformers, Conservative Activism in American Education. He was a middle school and high school teacher in Milwaukee for 10 years and got his PhD at UW-Madison. Adam, welcome to Central Time and welcome back to Wisconsin.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, let's look at what we know about what the owners of these properties, these books, are doing to change things, starting with Roald Dahl. Now, he's got a lot of legendary kids' books, the Charlie and Chocolate Factory, things like that. What do you see as the nature of the changes that they're looking at making there?
Well, from what I've seen, they're changing language to make it less offensive. So, for example, the Roald Dahl changes seem to be a lot of, like, really sexist and pretty angry language in some of the originals, you know. So, for example, referring to older women as old hags, you know, they're taking that language out. Instead of referring to a woman as maybe being a secretary, they're referring to her as being a successful executive. You know, they're taking out some, for one thing, some of the sexist language, and also some of the racially loaded stuff. So, you know, these characters, for example, in earlier editions, are being rebranded as, you know, just people of shorter stature, you know, that kind of thing.
What do you think? Let's stay with Roald Dahl for a minute. What do you think about this idea of releasing a new version of these books, but changing the language in ways that, you know, might, I don't know, might be less offensive, might be more sensitive to people's needs?
Well, I think it's the worst possible approach to this kind of situation. And it's both as a teacher and as a citizen and as a historian, it seems like this move by the person who the company that owns the copyright, it seems like it picked an unnecessarily worst case scenario for how to address these problems. So, for example, one thing people could do if a book is old and its language is offensive and angry derogatory, full of derogatory stereotypes, you know, the book could just fade out. And obviously the owners didn't want to do that. The owners of the copyright didn't want to do that. The second thing, if it's a great work of literature, or maybe, like you said, it's like a legendary book that people want to keep for their generations for sentimental reasons, you give it context. You explain to new readers where this language comes from and why it was used at the time and why it's offensive and why we don't use it anymore. But they did instead of doing either of those things, instead of making it a chance for kids to learn about both the story and where it comes from, they just sort of slapped a smiley face sticker over it. And that doesn't help. That ruins the book, and it blocks the kids who are reading the book from knowing where any of this came from or what the problem was in the first place. So in my opinion, it's the worst possible way to go.
And then we've got Ian Fleming. Now, this is the James Bond author. He wrote many books about the legendary fictional spy. Changing some of the descriptions, especially of characters of color. And I understand Ian Fleming had done this himself for one of his books. And now his estate is saying, in effect, we're picking up where he left off as we republish these. Do you have a similar reaction?
Similar, but they even seem to have done a worse job. You know, so for example, the new edits, they take some things out that are, you know, offensive and derogatory, but they leave some things in. Like famously, you know, if you remember the Sean Connery era, the old James Bond was not just winking, but sort of smiling at sexual violence. And the new editions, quote unquote new, because they They left some of that, in my opinion, the most offensive stuff, they left it in. So they tried to do a bad solution, and it seems like they didn't even do a very good job of it.
I want to look into why this is happening a little bit. Now, when you see the headlines about this, you might think, oh, you know, maybe an angry group gathered in person in front of the publisher's headquarters or an online mob or something like this. The Roald Dahl, now Netflix has the rights to a lot of this, and it looks like they're creating a Roald Dahl cinematic universe, basically. So a lot of money at stake here for them. And of course, the James Bond movie franchise has made lots and lots of money. These are people who own the rights to a license to print money. Why do you think they are the ones driving this kind of change?
Well, I mean, I think the reasons are obvious. And honestly, I think the desire to keep a title relevant and to keep it profitable is a whole different category from even, you know, conservative parents who are concerned about some of the titles that their kids will be reading. And they're concerned because they care about their kids. Like, I may disagree with a lot of that, as I do. I don't think books, you know, like Entango Makes Three, you know, the Penguin book. Mm-hmm. I don't think books like that should be kept from children. I think children should have access to them. But I sympathize when parents and teachers are concerned if certain topics and ideas are appropriate for their kids. At least we're all concerned about the kids. This is just a concern for maximum profitability. So I really think it deserves to be in its own category.
We're talking to Adam Lotz, professor of education and history at Binghamton University, looking at new editions, slightly revised editions of Roald Dahl, books for kids, Ian Fleming, books about James Bond, changing some of the language aimed at making it less offensive. Again, some money at stake at both properties. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Pat is with us in Green Bay. Pat, hi. What do you think?
Okay. When you guys started this conversation, I had all I could do from going from screaming like, you got to be kidding me, to just laughing. This has gotten, we have gone to such an extreme of, oh, heaven forbid, we can't offend somebody. You have to look at the time period when these books were written, when these movies were made. Okay? It's how it was. You can't change history. And to sit here and, oh, we have to cleanse all of this stuff. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a construction worker. We leave our feelings at home. And if somebody's feelings got hurt, oh, well, they'll get over it.
Pat,
it is what it is.
Pat, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Adam, what do you think?
Well, hi, Pat. Thanks for the call. Go Packers. I don't agree that we shouldn't, like, I think we do as a society need to be careful and need to be paying attention to what especially children are reading and exposed to. I don't think that it's going too far to be worried about what kids will be seeing. And if there are old books, not just Roald Dahl, not just Ian Fleming, but, you know, Mark Twain and Of Mice and Men is the other one that often gets criticized for having, you know, racial language that's really derogatory in it. I think it's wise for us, whatever our politics, to be paying attention to what children are reading. And if there are books out there that have, negative depictions of women or of conservatives, we need to look at that and say, hey, is it worth it? Is this book so fantastic? Is it so important? Is this movie so vital to kids understanding history that we want them to see it and we want to help them understand it? Like Pat said, it is how things were in the past, and kids should understand that. So just doing what the Roald Dahl owners did and just kind of taking parts out as if they never existed, that's bad. Some books really should be read, even with the offensive content. I agree. But students need guidance. They need to understand why Mark Twain used that N-word so much if they're going to read it. They can't just be left on their own, and if it hurts them, too bad. That's too harsh. That's not what we want for our children.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Adam Lotz, professor of education and history at Binghamton University, former teacher in Milwaukee middle school and high schools, about recent news about revised editions of books by Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest? Are you a student, parent, teacher, a librarian? What are your thoughts on, you know, changing these books retroactively to take out some things that are offensive? If you work with material with kids that, yeah, it's older stuff, there's some bad stuff in it, how do you deal with that? How do you talk to that reader? How do you explain what's different from then to now? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Adam Lotz, professor of education and history at Binghamton University and former Milwaukee teacher. Talk about issues of literary censorship and updating for relevance after the news that publishers are updating books by Roald Dahl. He's the James the Giant Peach author, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Ian Fleming, that's the James Bond author, to remove or revise what's now seen as offensive content. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Hi, Chris.
Hi, sir. Say, I'm listening to the conversation here, and whereas I do agree with the guest that removing language is not necessarily the right answer. Again, these things are being removed from private pieces of work. They're owned by a private company. The publisher is doing this, not necessarily the artist, if you will. And they're in business to make money, so they're going to do whatever they have to do to sell the most product. So it's not really for a benefit of anybody, but if they think it's going to sell more product, sure, they're going to remove language.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Adam, yeah, I don't think there's any argument. If they hold the copyrights, they can do what they want with it with the intention of making money. I think you're just not happy with the outcome.
Well, sure, yeah, and it's a great point, Chris. But I think that there's two elements that make it a bigger question. The one is that I think there's an implication that the company or the copyright owners are feeling some sort of pressure to change this. And I think there are people who find that pressure a shame, who say books like James and the Giant Peach should be free to use the language that was, you know, from the time that they were written, and that it's a travesty that the publishers should feel the pressure. And right, it's just market pressure. But some people feel it's a shame, worse than a shame, that they should have to change what people view as a classic children's book because of excessive sensitivity toward current norms. I don't agree, but I think that's the issue more than just can a private company change one of its properties. I think sure. I think most people agree with that.
Thanks a lot for that call. Mike joins us next in Waukesha. Mike, hello.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Mike?
Well, I heard the construction worker earlier, and he brought up a point that this is all in the past. But what's going on as we speak is unbelievably offensive language that kids that you're talking about are hearing or reading things like Mark Twain or this, that, and the next thing, with which may or may not have the N-word in it. And how do you differentiate that they might be reading it in a book, which I highly doubt, as opposed to hearing it at home on some of the obscenely offensive songs that are out right now, and that you want to take away an American classic like Mark Twain and edit it and leave everything else out there.
I gotcha, Mike. Thanks for the call. So distinguishing, I guess, between a music that might contain offensive words versus a book that we might teach in school. Adam, do you have a line you'd want to draw for Mike?
Well, I do. It's a great point. Especially, we don't just have to say songs. You know, when school districts or governors or, you know, ambitious pundits say that, you know, this book or that book should be banned, it's just, it's hard for anyone. You don't have to be a middle school or a high school teacher to point out that every adolescent has the internet in their pocket right now at all times. It's not books that they're mostly looking at. It's TikTok and other media. So sure, you know, I think Mike makes a great point. Why are we obsessing about books? I think one of the reasons, the good reasons, in my opinion, it's not just that this information is out there. We're talking about books in most cases, not James Bond, but these other ones that are being given to kids at school. And I think that's part of the problem. It's books that seem to be, like Mark Twain was a great example. A book that comes from a teacher or from a library seems to have a different status, even to children, than just some random, you know, internet content that they see or that someone, you know, sends them or whatever. So I do think it is a different thing and a more important conversation to talk about things that are part of library collections and school content. The biggest problem, in my opinion, is that it's a conversation that's difficult to have. You know, does a particular work of art merit inclusion in a school library or classroom? We need to have a sensitive, open conversation. When the politics get to be the way they do, that's exactly what we can't have.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mike. We're talking to Adam Lotz from Binghamton University, professor of education and history there, former teacher here in Wisconsin, looking at changes in new editions by a couple of well-known authors, Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming, taking out offensive content from the original works when they are republished. Let's bring on another caller now. Bob is with us in Madison. Bob, hello.
Hello. I want to bring up two specific authors that I know have had revisions both physically in their books and in a lot of their audiobooks. I'm a tremendous fan of H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard, and they have unfortunately been outspokenly kind of, well, colorful in their language. But it's one of those aspects of seeing their works revised just in the slightest way when it had no real negative connotation necessarily to the story that was being portrayed. It just seems like it's editing down something that, and I agree, I forget what the guy's name was, but he's the construction worker. It was a sign of the times. And it does bring up to me that, like, if we don't remember that language like that was used, terms like that were used, that they'll get reused. Like, again, history will repeat itself.
Bob, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. I remember reading H.P. Lovecraft, and the N-word pops up in one story that I remember kind of surprisingly. Adam, the approach, if I'm hearing you right, wouldn't be to take that out, but maybe have some kind of, like, introduction, putting it into context.
Right. And I was also, when I was younger, a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft, and I remember wondering about it. With that book, kind of like Roald Dahl, kind of like Ian Fleming, I never read that. I think they're sort of sideways, you know, on the side of school curriculum. Mm-hmm. So I think the question we need to have with any book, H.P. Lovecraft is a good example. Is this a powerful enough piece of literature for social reasons, for historical reasons, for literary reasons, for aesthetic reasons, that we want to help kids understand why the language is so offensive and angry? And Lovecraft really was, you know, it was the universe was very stacked racially in those books.
Mm-hmm. Bob, thanks a lot for that call. Adam, you've highlighted the tension between kind of our political conversation about what books kids have access to in libraries and in schools, and maybe a more productive way of talking about it. How do we get from that very angry version to a more productive conversation that puts the interests of kids at the middle of it?
Yeah, well, the good news is that we're doing it every day, and you wouldn't necessarily get that if you just looked at Twitter and the newspapers. But these are conversations that parents, librarians, teachers have been having forever. You know, do you think a specific family might have an objection to a book that a school uses in its curriculum, in its English classes. And almost always they talk about it and they just work it out, because the good news is that, you know, families trust their teachers. So when the Gallup organization asks American parents, how are schools doing? You know, huge majority of people say, oh, schools are terrible. But then when they ask a follow-up, how are your kids' schools? Huge majorities of parents say, oh, my kids' schools are great. My kids' teachers are great. We trust them. And we have conversations like this all the time. And that's what we need to focus on. We all want the best for our kids.
Adam, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Adam Lotz, professor of education and history at Binghamton University, author of the book, The Other School Reformers, Conservative Activism in American Education. We talked to him today about the past and present of book revisions in the United States and how parents, educators, and librarians can make decisions about what to share with and teach young readers. This after new editions coming out of Roald Dahl, the children's book author, Ian Fleming, the James Bond author, the copyright holders putting out new editions with some changes geared at making parts of them, they hope, less offensive and more purchasable. You can keep sharing your thoughts on the issue. You can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.